Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that afternoon, this is the Living Epistle Online Ministry. And no, this is not Apostle Miller, Apostle Armstrong. And we will be co-hosting. Apostle Miller should be on shortly. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic. And that's the Apostle of Love, Apostle McIntyre.
I pray that you had an awesome Father's Day on yesterday.
Well, yeah, because we're non-traditional, and I went for a drive to nowhere. And
okay.
It was very therapeutic.
Well, amen.
I'll put it that
amen.
Way.
Very good. Very
all
good.
All right.
Well,
and
good
I see Apostle Miller has arrived.
Yes, I have. Good afternoon. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Yes.
Happy Monday.
Yes. And I guess your listeners are trying to figure out, why are we on here? And why aren't you talking? And one of the reasons is, well, today is Juneteenth. And I participated in this process back in the 90s. Presbyterian pastor and myself, who's Methodist and another Methodist pastor, we had a Juneteenth program for the young people. And Apostle Miller and I was talking earlier today, and she mentioned that, and I said, you know, we should do it. Well, she invited me to do it and invited me to come on and look at things from a historical perspective. However, it was something that she said that struck me. That, what about the spiritual aspect of this celebration today? People don't talk about that. There was a spiritual aspect of it. And that's one of the things that we're going to explore today. Because, see, it was 2 years after the Civil War has ended, before the people in Garrison, Texas, had gotten the word that they were free.
Mm-hmm.
And it took another 150-some years before it become a federal, not a national, but a federal holiday. And there's a distinction between a national holiday and a federal holiday. Federal holiday only means that federal employees and government functions, they are the ones that are off today. Everybody else. Not bound to make their employees, give their employees the opportunity to be off. And whenever you look at all of this, that is a beginning. That is another beginning. Beginning of the movement to being recognized nationally. Some states recognizes it and were recognizing it before it became a federal holiday. So there is resistance to it becoming a federal holiday. One legislator, he said that, let's see if I can find his quote. I might have deleted it. Well, his whole thing was that we start doing that, making this a Juneteenth, a national holiday, it becoming more race related, and he voted against it. And maybe before the program's over, I can find his statement. Oh, here he is. Representative Matt Rosedale of Montana. He announced that he would cast his vote against the bill, saying he viewed it as an attempt to celebrate identity politics. Now, let's take that word identity. Why didn't he just call it what it is, what he's saying? He called himself sprucing it up and not saying race, but calling it identity politics. Those of us who are students of history, we know exactly what he was saying, what he meant whenever he made that statement, that those African Americans don't deserve a national holiday. That's basically what he was saying. You have to look beyond the letters on the words on the page to understand some of the stuff that we hear today. But before it became a federal holiday, some people celebrated, called it Freedom Day, freedom, because that was the day that all African Americans recognized that they were free. And then the other one called it Emancipation Day. So, and now we just call it it's a federal holiday. And so one of the things we see today also, Wall Street closed, and I thought that was significant, is that the money, and that's what this conflict was all about. If people want to talk about the free the slave, yeah, right. It was about money. Slaves were, how am I putting it? In other words, they were money. You sold them, you traded them, and you used them to harvest your crop. So I just saw it significant, very significant, that finally Wall Street decided that they would recognize the stock market. They closed for Juneteenth. And I think they did it last year as well. So getting to the point, when we look back at Juneteenth Day back to June 19, 1865, and it was a major general. He came into Galveston, and he attacked the notice on a church and other areas where he knew that African Americans or slaves would be able to read that notice. He was a Union general, and he's the one that issued that order in Galveston, Texas. Everywhere else, people understood and knew that they were free, but not the people there. If people kept them. And it says the Emancipation Proclamation, it was about 250,000 people was enslaved in Texas at that time. So it wasn't just one or two. They wanted to hold on to their property, because basically that's what they saw African-American as. They were property. And property, what? Appreciate in value. If we look at property today, there was no more than a car. You bought a new car. When that car started wearing down, you got rid of it, or you traded it. You needed, growing up on a farm, I can relate to the whole agriculture type economy, and that's what we were dealing with at that time in the South. And people were property. So now, what is God? Where do you see God in all of this? And I was telling Pastor Miller earlier that in the early 90s, I preached a sermon, And the sermon was that God's ultimate will shall prevail. No matter what Satan does, no matter what your enemy does, if you stay, have that faith, and you have the faith for longevity, you're going to become victorious. And that's what I see in this process. I saw that the people in Texas were being greedy, and they refused to give up their money makers. And as a result of that, somebody from outside had to step in. And I just saw, looking at it through the spiritual realm, I just see that people there and people all across the country was praising God for the freedom. And as a result of that, God was invited into it, and he brought justice to victory and mercy on behalf of the Africans, Americans who were there in Galveston, Texas. And one of the things that we can still ask, are we free? And so Apostle Miller took a stand from a spiritual perspective and said, oh, we were free 2,000 years ago. So Apostle Miller, you chime in at this point.
Okay. You know, I think in praying to Lord for the history and everything, but when the subject of when it came to me, the Holy Spirit reminded me that we was free over 2,000 years ago through Christ. And it is so important, and that's why when our identity in Christ is the most important thing about us. Everything else is secondary. We must die to any identity we have that is independent of Christ. When we place, mm-hmm. and this is what really the Lord was saying to me, when we place racist or ignorant identity above our identity in Christ, we are forgetting about God's amazing grace. We forget that the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us so that we might be reconciled to God and reconciled to others. And that's why we need to think about it. And then he gave, and this also blessed me, when he said, the kingdom identity in Christ put our race identity into proper perspective. The cross is not merely a historical event. It affects contemporary life as well as social and racial relationships. And there, too, again, when we really look at it, if we look at it from the spiritual part, Jesus came to free all mankind because the enemy had all races hostile against one another. And Jesus came to free that, even with the African-American slave, God was trying to bring on earth what he had not already did through Jesus. Better yet, the plan of God, he was trying to bring. And that's why the Bible said God go to and fro looking for someone to show himself strong in. And even when the enemy was trying to hold the black enslaved and keep them down, every now and then God would raise somebody up on earth that was available to bring in the natural what he always planned for all mankind. And that's why when the Lord showed to me, he said, now, it's okay to celebrate today, but they need to be reminded. Don't celebrate it with bitterness and resentment in your heart. See, that's what the enemy would do. The enemy always, when he's trying to have us to celebrate something and bring division and strife, we need to recognize it's Satan. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, I'm not trying to take nothing away from history. You know, I've had some people that try to, I'm not taking nothing from history. But I'm saying we need to keep the balance there, to recognize that God loves everybody. It's the enemy that constantly trying to keep races. He's trying to keep the strife and this division among the race. He's been trying that. I think God gave this to Apostle Gwen a while back, how the enemy is constantly trying to start a race war. And that's the enemy. And like I said, if we look at it, and this is what God did even with Apostle Peter. when Peter would get around the Jews, he would act like he didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. And God allowed Apostle Peter to rebuke Peter. Because Paul said, now you get around the Jews, I'm paraphrasing. He said, you act one way, then when you get around the Gentiles, you're another. You can't do that because Christ freed all of us. And see, there too, again, like I said, it's nothing wrong with history. We need to realize when people were being mean and evil to one another, they was being motivated by an evil spirit. And it was
yes.
That's where it come from. And we still, and I'm sure we probably got some people today that say, and like I said, I'm not knocking history. Please hear me. I'm talking about the spiritual side. Please hear me.
Mm-hmm.
We probably got some people that celebrate Juneteenth today, and they looking at it, and they still got bitterness and resentment in their heart against some of the white because of what Satan put in their heart. And y'all, Jesus, like I said, Jesus freed us over 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what, if anything, we need to make sure we inject that in. Father, I thank you. Jesus freed us over 2,000 years ago. But it took a while before it would manifest in the natural, in the way that God wanted to be, you know. And that's my whole thing about it. We need to stop acting like we don't have an enemy. The Bible tells us Satan go ask about also roaring like seeking who he may devour. It's not God will for, you know. And I think Apostle Gwen made this statement too on one of our broadcasts. She was saying that we're going to always have war. And that's the truth. Why is we going to always have war? Why are we going to always have bitterness and resentment? Why? This is a fallen world, and Satan is running loose on the earth. He the one that's keeping the confusion, the bitterness, the hatred, the strife going. He's constantly doing that. But we as sons of light, as sons of God, and daughters of God, we the ones supposed to let the people know. Do you know where all of that bitterness and that strife, that hatred came from? Do you know who the root of it, the root cause of it, who caused that? Because I'm telling you, when your spiritual eyes come open, and John even made mention this, and I think it's 1 John, maybe the second or the third chapter, but he said, if you hate your brother, you still in darkness.
That's right.
God is not the author of confusion. God is not causing all this rebellion. God is not pleased with all this hatred and bitterness and strife. But Satan, the one that's always trying to take one race and exalt them above the other. But like I said, in St. John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his own, the world. And God is the creator of all mankind. Now, like I said, I'm not knocking history. Please hear me. I'm not knocking history, but I'm coming. When you look at it from the spiritual, because if you ain't careful, the enemy always wants us to exalt the natural and forget about the spirit. Y'all, it's the spiritual side to everything. And the spirit is the real world. And that's why I said, I'm not telling people not to celebrate it.
No, that's not what we're saying. We want people to celebrate, but we want people also to realize there are two sides to this, and that we are in the world, but not of the world. And the enemy is that the battle is going on between the good and evil. I'm just going to put it the way that people understand. There's a battle going on between good and evil. Well, evil thought it had won. But God showed evil that he had the final say. And even to this day, I keep hearing about the lost cause, and that's the Confederate position that they took as a result of the war ending. They don't feel that they lost the war. Well, God is what I see right now, what God is doing right now. In this time, he is bringing justice to victory on behalf of his people who have prayed and who have invited him to come in and to correct the injustice that is happening in the earth as of today. Not what happened in the past. We're not living in the past. We're not celebrating that. We are celebrating the present. And in the present, that's where the Creator resides. And then he told us that he was doing an old thing a new way. You know, we who always quote in scripture, we only quote that scripture that's going to support that part that we want to happen because we don't want to change. I'm sorry,
you know, Apostle, also in Galatians, and when God was talking to me about this the other day, he gave me Galatians, the third chapter. Now, he was talking about the law and stuff, but in Galatians, the third chapter, in that 28th verse, he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And there too again, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings reconcile. And Paul even said that we have the spirit of reconciliation. Our spirit, God's spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, he want to reconcile humanity. Regardless to your race, the color of your skin, he want to bring us together. And as I stated, this is what the enemy does. And like I said, when you start dealing with history, and when we start putting history above Christ, y'all, we forget about God's amazing grace. Because his amazing grace was given to all mankind. And that, like I said, I don't want nobody to misunderstand what we said. We're not taking it, but we're just trying to show you how to keep the balance. Because when you really come to the knowledge and the reality of where evil is coming from, it will really transform your life. You'll begin to see evil from God. You'll view it the way God views it. And like I said, the Bible tells us the enemy goes about out and runs seeking who he may devour. The Bible tells us that he is a thief. He come to steal, kill, and to destroy. When you operate, walk around here with bitterness and resentment, and some might say, well, you don't know what happened. You are absolutely right. And some here, I don't know. But I'm saying you need to know who caused it. When you go to the root of it and see who caused evil, who brought it, hatred and bitterness, it was the devil. It was somebody allowing themselves, as I stated, to be motivated and influenced by the devil. Remember when Jesus was sitting at the table with the last meal with the disciples? The Bible said how Satan had entered into Judas' heart. Judas wasn't always like that. When Jesus first chose Judas, Judas wasn't out to crucify Jesus. But Judas allowed Satan to get in his heart. And y'all, when you look at evil, bitterness, and hatred, and all of it, it's someone that done allowed Satan to get in their heart and cause them to do what they want to do. That's where it's coming from. And some else, I want to say this, and I'm going to let Apostle Gwen come in. Just like the Lord showed me about males, and we don't realize the enemy is after the seed. The enemy, you got a lot of males and you got a lot of black, just like you got, and some white, all of them behind, but he trying to separate the males from the female. He don't want the generation to come forth. He after the seed. Like I said, my prayer, God, open up our eyes. Now, I know sin, unless a sinner gets saved, they ain't going to see this from God's perspective. But if you are born again believer, ask God to open up your eyes. God, reveal to me who is the root of all of this evil. And God will show it to you. It's Satan.
Yes, he will.
These invisible beings that you cannot see with your natural eyes. And I'm telling you, he the one, like I said, want us to turn against one another. He got the males separated from the female. Why? He after the seed. He trying to kill out the male. Why? He after the seed. A generation. He going to extreme measure doing, and if we keep using carnal a weapon to try to fight these spiritual beings, you can't do it. Paul said, "Our weapon is not carnal, but it is mighty through God." God gave us a spiritual weapon. And the word of God is spirit, and we can use the weapon of God to fight back. Just like with female, you got males and females. Two females can't have no baby. Two males can't have no. See, that's the enemy. Why? He after the seed. There too again, if your spiritual eyes have not been opened, you ain't going to see this. You'll look at it from the natural. You'll say, Mom, that don't make no sense. They shouldn't be doing it. You don't realize they have been influenced by an evil spirit that done brought confusion to them. They don't know what the enemy is up to. But we that is spiritual minded, God will reveal to us what the enemy number one goal is. He hates humanity. He hated because we were restored back to God. We got a relationship with God. He'll never have that opportunity no more. And that's why I said when we look at this from the spiritual side, like I said, I'm gonna say it again. We're not taking away from history. Please hear me. But know when all of that was happening, when the white was against the black and they were killing one and doing all this stuff, even with the Ku Klux Klan, you need to know what was involved in that. It was the spirit at the root. It was Satan at the root of it. And some people say, well, why God wait so long? Well, there too again. This is what God showed me. This ain't the final revelation. Please hear me. But this is what God showed me. He said, remember I told Abraham when I made the promise, when I made covenant with Abraham, that his people were going to be in bondage for 400 years. But then, guess what? Go right back to what you said. God tells them we'll prevail. The plan of God going to prevail. On God's appointed time.
Right.
On God's appointed time, God's son Jesus, he delivered all mankind. And y'all listen. The devil, God, he going to be on earth for a season. But guess what? After here, won't none of us have to worry about the devil no more. We won't have to worry about evil, bitterness, and hatred, and strife, hostility. We won't have to worry about none of that no more. And that's why we as born-again believers, I think you said this, Apostle Gwen, was it last week? I hear you said this, how God deal with us by the Spirit. Apostle
yes, ma'am.
Gwen.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
go
ma'am.
Ahead. I'm going to. Take over.
No,
go
you don't. No, slow, honey. Slow.
No, you go ahead.
I'm sitting here and just I'm jotting down notes while you all are talking and sharing and you know, Holy Spirit just began to tell me. He said, "Man has been in slavery since the fall of Adam." And
that's
I'm with
right.
you with the spiritual
yes,
side. Because when God
mm-hmm.
created man, he created him in perfection in every area. And when the
okay.
first Adam fell, then
mm-hmm.
the seed of mankind was in that first Adam. And
that's
all
right.
mankind fell in him. That's why
mm-hmm.
Jesus had to come as the last Adam, able
oh,
to restore
it.
All of mankind. Now,
it.
It's like you said, our enemy is Satan. He was in
that's
the garden,
right.
and he's still doing it, have God said. He's still doing that. And the only cure for racism and every other problem in
mm-hmm.
our earth is salvation. That's the only cure. That's why
it.
Heaven's such
that's
a beautiful
it.
Place. Ain't no sin there. Ain't no racism. Ain't no disease. Ain't nothing. It's nothing but the perfect love of God. And that's going to be the only cure. Isn't it amazing when people get born again, then they begin to love people? You know,
that's
they
it.
Begin to,
that's good.
You can't love without the nature and the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of you.
Amen.
And the Lord
Amen.
Was just telling me while you all were talking, he said, even those men, when they had slavery going on, those men had shackles on their bodies. You know, they put those shackles and treated them badly, but the ones that were doing that, they were also in slavery. Since the fall of Adam, Satan has had
that's
every
good.
Man in slavery.
That's good.
And a
Amen.
Lot of them are still operating under that slavery mentality because once
mm-hmm.
a person get born again, their heart changes. Their nature, they take on the nature of Christ Jesus. And Satan
mm-hmm.
knows that a house can't stand if it's united, so he has to divide the house. And he's used a lot of things. Juneteenth, when you called me this morning, I had to really go look it up. and see what it says, because I'm like this. Any celebration you do that leaves somebody out, that's not God. God doesn't separate. And like I say, I told my granddaughter yesterday, we were sitting at Longhorn, and I said, baby, I said, many, many years ago, people of our color could not come in a restaurant like this and sit down and be served, you know. And I say, God has done amazing things for us, and we need to be thankful. I know you don't know anything about it, but I'm just letting you know that God has blessed people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And he has removed a lot of things that, you know, in the natural realm had us, you know, yoked. But our true freedom, just like Prophet Miller said, our true freedom happened when Jesus Christ
gave his
life on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
When we want to look back in our past, we don't need to go back past the cross.
Oh, that's true. Right.
We don't need it, because if you go back past the cross without the blood of Jesus, you're going to have anger and bitterness, because only the blood can deal with the ills and the things of man. Only the blood of Jesus can take
care of
every hurt and all of the ills and things done wrong to people. Even the Holocaust with the Jews, it's like Prophet Miller said, he's trying to wipe out the seed. And sad to say, there's a lot of us are helping him. We're so bent on even, and they say this, and I'm like her, and I had looked at that Galatians 3:28. He said, we're all one in Christ Jesus, neither male nor female. Even now in the Southern Baptist thing, they're saying that they're going back, and any Baptist church that has a woman as a pastor, they're going to remove her. They hadn't read the word. They haven't consulted God. They haven't found out what God wants. It's just something that the enemy is using to keep bringing the spirit of division. Because God does not love one race, color, creed, ethnicity, more than he loves any. All of us came out of him. And my Bible tells me God is love. And so even when you use this Black Lives Matter, that agenda did not have a spiritual concept. If you go back and see a lot of stuff, I'm like this. It was a person said, would you join the NAACP? I said, no. And they said, why? I said, because I'm in Christ. And so I'm not looking at color. Don't nobody owe me nothing from 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid it all. He paid for every sin, every shortcoming, every failing of all humanity, and his blood will pay for everyone that will be until he calls us all home. But until we give our hearts to the Lord, things can get better. Yeah, we should celebrate. I do celebrate that I don't have to sit on the back of a bus. I do celebrate that I can purchase a car. I can own a house. You know, at one time, women, you know, we talk about race, but there's all kind of prejudice. There's all kind of things that the enemy uses to divide us. And so we have to be wise as serpents. That's what the Bible said, be wise as serpent, and what is a dove? Yeah. And so we have to understand, first of all, the enemy's gotten some races of people believing the earth belonged to them. They really need to read the book. The Bible said the earth is alone. He ain't turning that power over to nobody. I don't care what your color. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't care what side of town you live in. I don't care what kind of car you drive. The earth is the Lord, and he's not turning that over to any man. He has placed mankind in the earth to steward this earth for him. And we're supposed to manage it like he does heaven. Heaven is run on love. There's not one thing out of order in heaven, not one. And if the body of Christ would rise up and begin to walk in the agape love of God, if you take these blinders off your eyes and see who the real enemy is, he has us fighting one another. And the enemy doesn't have to do anything. He just take a few people. He just take a few people with big mouths and terrible motives, put them out front. And because we don't study the word, we won't allow God, as you said, Apostle Armstrong, we don't want to change. We don't want to change. No, it's the mercy and the grace of God that you and I are here. It's the mercy and grace of God that anybody is here. And I'm telling you, man is still in slavery. A lot of us in slavery to wrong doctors and wrong mindsets and wrong concepts. Ain't nobody got my stuff. I ain't even going into the devil's camp to get back what's mine because he don't have any of it.
Come on, man.
That's right.
Everything I have is in the kingdom of God. And see, we got to come up. We got to come up and see ourselves like God sees us. So, yeah, celebrate all that God has done for our race. He has done marvelous things, wonderful things. Yeah, we were treated inhumanely. So was Jesus.
That's it.
So was Jesus. But because he had the agape love of God in his heart, he was able to walk through it and die for every man. And God knows everything. He knows everybody that will accept him, those that will not accept him. And he still sent his son. And his son still went to the cross. And if the church will begin to rise up and begin to walk in the love, stop. I am not your enemy because I'm a female. I'm not your enemy because I'm black. I'm not your enemy. We got one enemy, and his name is Satan. He's our adversary, and we need. That's why he wants you to have a special day. He wants you to have clubs and things where only people that look like you. Well, if I just stay with people look like me, I ain't going to learn very much. I'm not going to learn a lot at all because all races and cultures, and they all came out of God, and we can learn from each other. We can grow. See, the enemy knows that we're much stronger together than we are apart. So if he just get us for looking on the outward man, see, God said, no man after the flesh. No man after the flesh. You know, there's black people killed. There's more black people now killing black people. Than other races are. Ain't nobody up in arms about that. I don't see nobody walking the streets and crying. I don't see that. Why not? It's not only the enemy has even turned us against our own.
That's it. Yep. That's it.
And we got to recognize who our enemy up and do. And I tell you, the answer is to get folks saved, Apostle Armstrong and Prophet Miller. Preach that gospel. Show the love of God. Get folks saved, because when they get saved and the nature and the spirit of the Lord Jesus move on the inside of them, they'll begin to love everybody.
I agree with you 100%. And you know, Apostle Gwen, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's why I believe the earth is growing because we need to come forward and stand up and let people know. Because as I stated, a lot of people can't see in the spirit realm. And you know, all us, when my eyes came open to see who was my problem, I don't have bitterness, hatred, anything in my heart against nobody.
Amen. I don't either.
And you know, when the Lord, when you were saying about the Ku Klux Klan, when the Lord showed me that, he said back then, the enemy used them, but now y'all got black killing black. And the Lord said, it's the same spirit. Paul said this in Ephesians. He said, the spirit of disobedience that's not working in those that disobey God. That's a spirit. It's an evil spirit. And when your spiritual eyes come up to see Satan for who he is, you won't be walking around in bitterness and resentment like you said when you get saved. When you know, hey, look, that's a spirit. That's the enemy that's operating. And now even go back to something we said earlier, even with Judas. Now, Jesus know that Satan had got in Judas' heart. Why Jesus didn't try to stop him? Because of his will. Judas had a will. And this is what we got to realize. Some people say, well, God's sovereign. Why don't God intercept? Why don't God do this? We got to realize God would not violate our will. We have and according to the scripture, the Lord taught to everybody. It's the Holy Spirit is consulate now, trying to get everybody saved, coming, you know, to let Jesus in. But if you want to harden your heart, rebel against him, and don't listen, he'll let you do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, y'all, we got there to again. Some people say, well, why God didn't do nothing? Why God ain't do? You don't go back to what you said. Read the book. The same thing even in the garden. God didn't stand up and say, y'all better not do it, Adam and Eve.
No,
he had told them what to do. He had gave them specific instruction. But as an act of their will, they choose to still rebel against what God said. And we having that today. And some people don't understand. God is not going, if we use the terminology, God is not going to override your will. God is not going to make you do right. Please get that. God is not going to do it, people. God gave you a will. And if you will to live right, God will release the ability for you to do what's right. But if you don't want to do it, he ain't going to make you do it.
That's right.
And that's why the enemy, because of your lack of knowledge, he'll have you blaming, well, God should have did something, and God should have did this, and God should, baby, you don't realize he is not going to violate your will. And we seeing it. We seeing it with people. The God, just like some pastors, they preaching the good news. Now, some people, you know, might be missing, to, but for the most, if you got a pastor that preaching this word the way God wants to, and you and they go in there Sunday after Sunday, but then you see some people, you got some still in the same place they was last year. It's the pastor fault. It's not the pastor fault all the time. Because God told me this one time. He said, first of all, I gave all mankind the opportunity to come to me. He said the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing and bringing conviction. And people want to do that, want to use that Adam mentality. You always want to blame somebody. You don't want to be responsible for your
actions. Yes.
But you can't blame God. Then you want to blame somebody else. But you don't want to look at it. You know, it's me, Lord.
Yeah.
It's me. And I'll tell you, I agree with you. People got to get saved. Because if you ain't saved, you ain't going to see it from God's perspective.
You won't
see the opposite. And like I said, all this evil, y'all, here's Satan. Satan is at the root of it. He at the root of it. And when your eyes come open to that, I think this is a good subject. I think this is good.
It is.
But I think you start preaching a little bit, but I ain't going to give you no quarter.
Now, that series that you did on forgiveness, it fits right in here. Because what I see part of the problem is, people walk around with unforgiving spirits.
Yeah.
And a lot of them,
I agree with you.
They cannot forgive themselves. If they could just forgive themselves, then they the change could take place. And one classic example I always use, I have friends and relatives that work in VA centers. And as I tell them, and I pray for them, because they're like going into the lion's den or to the fiery furnace. Because you have people coming in there who they were trained, they went off, they did a job. But some of them have not been able to forgive themselves for what they did. And and they come there and the staff is putting themselves at risk because they were told that especially the Vietnam era vets of who I grew up with, that don't agitate them. Don't agitate them. They're like a pile of keg ready to explode. So we just pray, and that's what I see, one of the reasons why we got this divide, all these divisions all over the place. People have not forgiving themselves for their thoughts or their deeds that they committed against people, and they're not understanding that when you commit something against somebody else, you're committing it against yourself. Now, I had to learn that the hard way. Because growing up, I hated this boy. I hated him. I wanted to kill him. And I finally realized that what I was doing was killing me, because I was all upset inside, all full of stress, and I would wind up with an ulcer if I would have kept going. But somehow, I came to my senses, and that ended it. And then I felt 100% better. Even whenever I could see him, I thought about him. just the thought about him, I want to kill him. I'll be honest with you. I used to sit down there with my grandfather's 22 rifle, just hoping he'd walk across our property so I could shoot him.
Jesus.
That's just how bad it was.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with
you. Oh, Lord.
Yep. That's
the devil
hatred.
Had your heart, didn't he?
That's right.
But see,
I had to come to an understanding that I can't keep blaming the devil. The devil ain't make me sit down there with that rifle. I knew what the consequences would be if I shot him. That's why I waited for him to come across our property. Then you can say that was part of the devil putting that thought in my mind, let him come on your property, and then you shoot him, and you get away with it. But I wouldn't have been able to get away with it because he wasn't doing anything but just walking across there.
And you see, what changed your heart, Apostle Armstrong? The love of God.
Well, that's right. And I recognized that God was who God is.
And he was being
the fact
good
that he did not take me when I was 16, when I got electrocuted, that put me in a different relationship with God and with people.
Yes. You know, also, if we would just think about how much God has, it would be easy to forgive people if we would just stop and think about how much God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. If we would just stop and sit down and just think. Now, here Jesus that had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin. He loved us so much that he came down to this earth and clothed himself in human flesh, so identified with us in every area so he could become our perfect substitute on the cross. When he was on that cross, God saw him just like he saw us. That's what he saw. He saw all that sin and everything went in Jesus on the cross. And for the first time, instead of saying my Father, as he's always talked about God, even when he talked to people, my Father and I are one, what you see my Father do, he's always said that. But at that moment, when all of humanity's sin and sickness and disease and all the wickedness and the evil and everything went into him on that cross, and God had to, being holy, he had to turn his back on Jesus. He had to turn his back on him, and Jesus cried out, my God,
why
have thou forsaken me?
And
he did all that for us. He did all that for us. Then he went into the lowest part of the earth for 3 days, 3 nights, suffered all kind of torment, things we would never. He paid the total penalty, the ransom. He fulfilled it all for us. Now, he could have an attitude, because there are a lot of us ain't living for God. If a lot of us have not even accepted God, but every day you get the same sunshine. Every day food is available. Everything. God constantly sending people across your path to talk to you about the word, to have you open your heart and to receive him. Now, we can walk in that same love. And you can only do that in Christ and through Christ. That's why I say salvation. That's the only, to get born again is the only cure to have your heart change, your motives, your vision. You got to have a new nature on the inside of the nature of Christ Jesus, which is love. Go ahead, Prophet Miller.
You know, there too again. That's what, you know, whenever I think about history, because God revealed to me the root cause and who brought the evil and all of that. I feel sorry for people I don't have bitterness, and and I'm being honest. When God opened up your eyes to see it, you know, I have looked at slavery movie, and I have people. Why are you gonna? I said I can see the history, but it don't bother me. It's no bitterness and resentment. Because God showed me it was a spirit, an evil force, an evil spirit that motivated these people to fight one another. You know,
because
there too, again, as I said, I'm being a little repetition. When we see who is the root of all of this bitterness, hatred, strife, division, and murder, like you said, here to change your whole perspective. You begin to pray for the people. You begin to pray that salvation will come in their life. Because so guess what? If their heart get right, they'll see better.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why when people walk around here and say, I'm saved and I can't stand so-and-so, I hate so-and-so, something wrong with that picture. I'm about how can you say you love God that you never seen and see your brother every day and say you hate him?
That's right. That's right.
This life. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you cannot walk around here talking about you hate people. People might need to go back and examine it, because if people mistreat me, with forgiving, the Holy Spirit will remind me. He said, God forgave you through Christ for his
That's
sake.
Right.
Now you got to forgive them. He said, they ain't did the money to you as they did to Jesus. And see,
That's
I like
right.
what you make, because there too again, we got to
That's
forever
right.
looking at the cross. When I look at that cross and think about what Jesus went through for me,
Lord.
He didn't go for just one race of people.
No, he did not.
All.
All. Yeah.
It's that's why it's not God's will. It ain't God. Only thing God separate me from is evil. There's only
that's
two
right.
kind of people on the earth, y'all. Believers and unbelievers.
That's right.
People on this earth. That's the way
that's
God
right.
view it. But if you put them in certain, that's not the Spirit of God. I agree with you. Anything that's bringing division, you better go back and examine yourself. That is not God. You need to cast that thing down. You need to rebuke and tell Satan, you ain't putting that thing in my heart. I didn't
that's
deliver.
Right.
Other words, it falls up under the category of darkness. Don't do it.
It does. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, we have about 8 minutes left, and I'd like to suggest that we pray for unity.
Amen.
Unity, that there is no red state, there is no blue state.
Yeah.
We're all one state. And we're going to have to get past that. And there is no Republican, there is no Democrat. We are one country.
Yeah.
And now this division, and we just have to begin also to look at Genesis 1:26-27. The earth don't belong to any one person.
No, it doesn't.
It belongs to all of us. And Jesus, God said in Psalm 115, verse 16.
Yeah.
The heaven is his and the earth is for the children of men.
That's
and we are the children of men. We all are one. And that oneness, and I know what some people are saying, well, it's got to be that way. No, it does not have to be that way, because in the end, whenever the Messiah returns, it will not be that way any longer. And God has just given us an opportunity, his mercy and his grace, giving us an opportunity to see the light and to change and come to him. So we just pray for unity.
Amen. Well, Prophet Miller, this your hour.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that graced this gathering, this we thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you
for bringing enlightenment and understanding. And Father,
right
now, we ask you to forgive. We ask you forgive those that haven't even came to the light. Forgive those that allow the enemy to use them to spread this bitterness, this hatred, this murder.
Yes.
We ask you to forgive them. And Father, we ask you, you said whatever we bind on this earth is already bound. Whatever we forbid, whatever we call unlawful. And we bind the strong man that is operating in these people's lives, that spread these lies, these divisions. We bind the strong man. You said, how can one enter into a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man? If we bind you, strong man Satan, whether it's in the government, politics, in the White House, or people out, regardless of the color of your skin, we bind strong man Satan that want to continue to try to spread this evil.
Mm-hmm.
We come against all of this in the matchless name of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
The one that's for principality. And Father, you said the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send
forth labors.
And Father, I'm asking you to send forth labors in the
harvest.
Send forth labor in the vineyard. Father, we're asking you to send forth
labor.
I'm even asking you, even the saints, the one that I'm allowed they self to be counter-persuaded, to take on the spirit of bitterness and resentment against one another.
You,
I'm asking you that you would visit them, that you would allow the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would visit them and bring conviction in the name of Jesus. I even come in the spirit of unbelief, because you said in it's only one sin, and it's unbelief. We
against
the spirit of unbelief that have played some of the mind. Even the saints, you said in the last days, many going to depart from the faith. You said we're going to be a great falling away. And Father, I'm praying. We pray for that spirit of reconciliation to begin to move on the saints, the spirit of conviction to move on the saints in the master's name of Jesus.
Even come
against the spirit of unforgiveness. Some of them don't even realize by opening themselves up for unforgiveness, they don't open up themselves for sickness and disease. They don't open up themselves for demonic activity. You said neither give place to the devil. So, Father, I pray for people's spirit to say that their eyes will come open and sinners will experience the spirit of conviction so they can come into the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Again,
thank
I tell you, thank you. I plead the blood today. I plead the blood.
Hallelujah.
Those that are celebrating this day. I plead the blood against bitterness and hatred and strife, and that you will bring conviction to them.
Thank you, Jesus. He has acted already because our prayer was a prayer of faith, not by sight.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, y'all. This, I trust and pray that the listeners heard something that was challenging to them and that they go get their holy book, their Bible, and look it up. And see what God is saying to them through the Holy Spirit so that we can move beyond this foolishness that we are going through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for the invite, Apostle Miller. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
God bless.
Thank you, Jesus.